Welcome to Share Talk, the only podcast where investors come first.
Welcome to Share Talk. Today I have the pleasure of speaking with Rita Whittington from Magnolia Petroleum. How are you there today, Rita?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
Right. Would you like to tell us a little bit about Magnolia Petroleum, please?
Absolutely. Magnolia acquires oil and gas lease rights within prolific plays in the United States. In obtaining these rights, we participate in the drilling of oil and gas wells, which in turn proves up our reserves. We participate with operators such as Marathon, BP, Whiting, Continental. Our current management has generated considerable value by deploying the same strategy in the past. It has always been our intention to replicate this success for Magnolia. Magnolia began to trade on AIM November of 2011. At that time, going on AIM, we owned approximately 67 wells. Today, Magnolia owns interest in over 150 producing wells. In addition, we have almost 60 wells at different stages of development.
Could you tell us a little bit about the board of directors there, please?
We have three board of directors. The first one is Ron Harwood. He is our interim chairman, and he has been one of the original board members since Magnolia was created. Ron is a phenomenal man. He has had probably 50 years of experience. I believe he has been involved in over 35 companies, and he brings an enormous amount of knowledge to our board. Our other board member is Leonard Wallace. Leonard is our newest board member. He is an engineer and has been drilling wells onshore and offshore all over the world. He currently drills wells for Pemex in Mexico, and he's been a great addition to our board. And then myself, I have been with Magnolia since 2008, and I'm currently the CEO and president of Magnolia also. And I have 30 years experience or more, I'm not going to say, of land work and building and flipping companies. I'm primarily responsible for the place that Magnolia is currently in. I make the deals and close the acquisitions of oil and gas leases and wells. We also have two management individuals, Derek Norman, who is our CFO and Vice President of Accounting. Derek's been with us for about 3 years now and is a superb young man. He has been in the oil and gas industry now for probably around 15 years. We stole him from Chesapeake. He had spent 10 years in the acquisition and divestiture department at Chesapeake, and he brings a lot of knowledge to the table. And then we've recently added on retainer our geological advisor, Laney Woods. Laney's resume is phenomenal. So he looks at all of our wells. He helps us decide what plays to get in and what ones not to get in. Laney's background, he was with Samson. He was also my past partner in Primary 1 and 2, where we flipped both companies for a substantial profit. So we feel like the current board that we have right now is a circle and round table of the heads of departments that we need to make a very significant oil and gas company move forward.
So you've already covered the sort of direction of the company, and since it's been conceptualized, has the drop in the oil prices forced you to sort of change your strategies and goals?
No, our strategy and goals have not changed at all. Certainly, the oil price has slowed down our progress, but the industry as a whole has also been affected, and everyone has had to readjust to the current oil price. Our current management took to reduce cost where we could. We lowered overhead. We've also divested of a group of non-economic wells, and we prioritized our well proposals to focus on investments with low cost and high reserve plays. In fact, back on September 28th, 2016, our then CEO released and announced that against the market backdrop, we still generated earnings, which is a testament to the excellent progress we made in realigning our business to the current low price environment. This has seen a 31% reduction in our cost base, which is our overhead, the divestment of interest in 67 non-economic wells, and the repayment of a large portion of our reserve-based lending facility. These facts were true back on September 28th when they were released, and they are still true today. Since that time, we have lowered our overhead by 45%, and Magnolia's relationship with our reserve-based lending facility is better than ever. Now, prior to the downturn, when our oil was at $90 plus per barrel, Magnolia's net production and reserves grew substantially year on year. Thanks to the current management, we can now achieve those same impressive results at $50 oil.
So what differentiates Magnolia from other companies out there?
I would probably say, first off, our ability to manage risk. We also have a portfolio of wells holding relatively small interest, and we participate with leading operators, which gives us that diversification of risk. Owning a portfolio of interest in producing wells also gives us access to well information, which is imperative when you're in a competitive industry. Now, a company our size would never be able to obtain that well information if we don't participate with those interests. And this gives us a major advantage, as it allows us to identify new plays early on. And then once we have that well info, and if we like that area, then we will go out and start acquiring leases ahead of that play at a discount within those areas. Another thing that makes us so different is low cost. Magnolia has always been low cost, but it is even more so today, as we have had to hone our skills in today's oil price environment. Now, a little bit of history about that. We've been around since 2008, first on the plus market, and then we went on to AIM, like I said, in November 2011. We've grown a lot since that time. Even though we have had some superb directors in the past, such as Dr. John Cubitt, who was our first chairman, and Thomas Wagenhofer, both whom were instrumental in their own ways to help Magnolia move forward. I can now say that what makes us extremely different from other companies is our current board and our management, which collectively has the necessary skills to grow this company and generate value for its shareholders.
So you touched upon the asset sort of acquisition there, and so far you've announced that you're participating in a number of new wells this year. Do you think the whole sort of sector based in the US has changed and is sort of turning a corner, if you like?
I believe that our sector has turned the corner. I'm starting to see a lot more well proposals. I'm also privy to when companies start planning to by filing for spacings and poolings and various documents that we watch, and we are seeing a plethora of well proposals coming.
So how do you sort of process the information and choose what wells to actually participate in?
Actually, we turn down quite a few proposals, mainly because they don't perform to our expectations. We go through a series of steps when we get well proposals. We look at performance of nearby wells. We also look at the quality of the operator who's proposing these. We know which operators to participate with and which ones will operate you to death. We also look at the cost of the wells, the estimated reserves, rate of return. But as far as going through like a normal day-to-day process, once we receive a well proposal and I review it, I forward it on to our geological advisor, who is now on a retainer, Laney Woods. And Laney reviews that proposal pretty much going through the same steps that I just described. And he will deem whether or not it meets our criteria that we've set up with the board and management. If Laney believes in the well, then he will write a report, provide an economic cash summary, a decline curve, and then he will send me an email that states, I recommend that you participate. And then the board will meet, we'll discuss it, and then we approve it.
So when we're actually looking at these deals then, why does Magnolia Petroleum sort of participate in wells with such tiny interests? Is it a case of you're trying to diversify your risk within the portfolio, or?
You're spot on that one, Steve. There's two reasons. When someone asks me that question, especially if they're a novice, I say, think of owning stock. You wouldn't put all your money into one company. Investors instead want to spread the risk over multiple stocks. Basically, the same principle applies here. This is why we participate in wells with smaller interests. Magnolia's current board and management wants to protect its shareholders. That's always been our first and foremost thought. And to spread the risk while also giving the company the best opportunity to increase our assets. And the second reason is, again, that we touched on before, is for the well information. Once we receive that well information, then that allows us the opportunity to decide if we want to participate in that particular region.
So Magnolia recently announced that it has been approached by some third parties to farm into 6 wells in North Dakota. Could you provide some background on that then, please?
I can. We received 6 well proposals from Marathon. Now we have 41 wells in North Dakota. And the way the North Dakota Bakken and Three Forks Sandage formations work is that operators there have now realized that those two formations do not communicate with each other. So you can essentially have a unit with 16 wells on it. None of our units at this time have that many wells. So when we receive these well proposals from Marathon, we have a 2% interest in each one of these wells. We were very excited about that because the wells that are already in that unit producing is our top well on our reserve report. So these 6 new increased density wells are low risk, high impact. And based on our evaluations with Laney, the current wells have already returned 2.5 times their original investment. Laney is a very conservative geologist, and so he based the evaluations on the older wells. The techniques have changed. The fracking, number of fracks have changed. So he still based it on the lower number and believes that we will have significant reserves and revenue coming in to move the needle for Magnolia. Now, you did touch on the fact that we have people standing in the wings wanting to buy that interest, farm out that interest, or do some kind of a carry. And at this point, we are evaluating what's the best interest for Magnolia and for its shareholders. And we had announced to the market that we would give them an update in due course once we decide how we are going to proceed with those wells. One point that I do want to make is that this is just the beginning of what we're going to start seeing back in North Dakota again. And Laney touched on this a bit with me earlier. He said, Rita, those wells used to take 30 days to drill. Those wells used to be $11 million. Now those wells are $6 million, and they're drilling these wells in 14 days. So just with those two avenues, your return is greater. Also, a really large point is that the Keystone Pipeline's coming through there, which will change the differential on transportation cost. So we know that it's getting ready to pick back up again, and we're excited about the additional PUDs that we're going to have proposed to Magnolia.
So, with the direction of the company, then, are there plans to make sort of further acquisitions, or is it just a case of you've already built up your portfolio and you're happy with where it is?
Magnolia is always making acquisitions, specifically when we're buying leases. We've taken advantage of the downturn in the oil price to start playing in other areas that we may have had a smaller interest in, especially plays like the SCOOP and the STACK, which are economic below $50 a barrel of oil. So when oil prices were 90 plus, it was a seller's market. Today, it's more of a buyer's market, and we have been and we will continue to take advantage of these prices. We do look at production deals, development projects which come our way, but we will only go down that road if we feel like it's going to be a good risk for our management and for our board and for our shareholders and a return profile that meets our criteria.
So, a question from me, does this sort of risk-averse bias impact the level of potential return for your shareholders? Obviously, taking the small sort of licenses and sort of small production values.
Absolutely not. Our geologist, Laney Woods, and I both were previously part of a management team for two companies, Primary One and Two, before Magnolia was created. In both cases, when we built and flipped those companies, we made a 3-to-1 investment return. Both were managed with the same risk-averse criteria that we're using now for Magnolia. We know it's possible to generate great returns for the investors while at the same time managing risk. We've done it not just once, but twice before, and we're replicating that process.
So, where do you see Magnolia in the foreseeable future then?
That's a very good question, Stephen. I'm so glad that you asked that question. We have realigned our business model with $50 oil. This is now a period of growth for Magnolia, and we are rolling out our tried and tested strategy of acquiring leases and producing U.S. onshore wells and proving up the reserves by drilling alongside established operators that I described earlier. We have taken advantage of the depressed markets to increase our leasehold position in low-cost plays such as the SCOOP and the STACK in Oklahoma, where excellent production and recovery rates are being consistently reported for new wells, including those that we have an interest in, and specifically including the ones that are drilling right now that we've made announcements on. This is an exciting time for Magnolia. Already since the turn of the year, we've announced that we've participated in 28 new wells, with many more proposals on their way, and we're so very excited for the year ahead and beyond. Now, Magnolia has emerged from the 2-year downturn in oil and gas markets with a lower cost base and overhead, strong asset backing in the form of our proven developed reserves, with the strategic foothold in these prolific low-cost plays established and a highly experienced team in place now. We are focused on building a significant presence in the U.S. onshore sweet spots, as we call it, which will swiftly generate the strong production and reserve growths that we once enjoyed before the downturn.
Is there anything further you would like to add?
No, I think that's it, Steve. I really appreciate you setting up this podcast, and I look forward to it going out to the market and our shareholders having a better understanding of where the current board and management team feels about Magnolia Petroleum, and we're so very excited about our future.
Rita from Magnolia Petroleum, it's been a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you for listening. Remember to visit our website for more news and other podcasts at www.share-talk.com.